And you're very welcome back to Kilkenny's Today. Well, it's Monday, which means it's time for our weekly Astronomy Ireland Skywatch with David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. For stargazers, it's gearing up for an exciting week in the skies above Ireland, from a rare double planet sighting to stunning morning planet alignments, the first ever view of the sun's south pole and why it's important, and even a special NASA lecture on Martian auroras. There's plenty out to look out for. So good evening, David.
Good evening.
And thanks again, as usual, for being with me. Now,
my pleasure.
David, let's start with the big event this week. Mars passing incredibly close to the star Regulus. What can we expect to see?
Yes, we've been warning people to keep an eye on this all the past week, and indeed all the coming week. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, they're actually at their very closest. And to give you an idea how close they are, if you held up your little finger at arm's length, you'd cover both of them at the same time. And it's visible to the naked eye. It's happening in the evening sky. There's a lot of twilight around from Ireland at this time of year. So you want to be viewing soon after sunset. So the sunset's around 10. I'd say certainly by 11, start trying to see if you can see Mars and Regulus. And the other amazing thing is they're both almost exactly the same brightness. So it's going to look like a double planet. And tonight, Mars will be to the upper right of Regulus. But tomorrow night, it'll be directly above. And then it effectively keeps moving to the upper left if you were just watching Regulus all the time. Like anyone's got, the Astronomy Ireland magazine for June has a diagram in the magazine showing what it will look like all this week, all last week.
And, of course, there's no excuse for people not to see it now with the change in the weather today, because now we have some clear skies to be able to see this this amazing sight.
Yeah, and I just looked at the long-term forecast for the rest of the week. Looks like skies are just going to get clearer and clearer. So even if you miss it tonight, tomorrow night when they're closest, or the night after, by the end weekend, they'll still be able to hide both Mars and Regulus behind your fist at arm's length.
Wow.
So this double planet in quotes, double star in quotes, or double star planet, I suppose, is going to be visible for several nights. So I'm sure everyone's going to get a chance to see it. We had a bit of that mist we talked about in the atmosphere last year caused by the smoke from the wildfires in Canada. And that's dimming things that are low down a little bit. And you're going to need to look low in the west. Let's hope that clears out of the way as well. Make sure you have a clear western horizon to see these two. And by midnight, they'll be really too low for anybody to see.
Absolutely. So 11 o'clock is the time to be going to look at them. Now, that sounds amazing. Now, you mentioned there's also plenty to see in the morning skies. What's happening there?
Yeah, and while I think of it, we won't get a better view of Mars and Regulus making a double star like this until 2042. So it's quite a rare sight. But back in morning skies, the big planet in morning skies is Venus. You can't miss it. It's brighter than anything else in the sky by a factor of nearly 100. It's fairly low down, and of course you're going to be viewing in twilight. But if we deal with it first, although it's not the first thing that's going to happen this week, it's on Sunday morning that it'll be just below the moon. So we should have clear skies, according to the forecast, that morning. I'd recommend setting the alarm for, I'm afraid it has to be around the 4 o'clock mark, because the sun rises around 5 a.m. And then you should see a lovely thin crescent moon with Venus sitting just below it. They're the two brightest things in the night sky, so it will be spectacular to the naked eye. And again, there's a diagram showing exactly what it will look like in the June issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine. So that's
okay.
Sunday morning.
Okay.
Now, if you come back to Thursday morning, a few days from now, Saturn is going to be close to the moon. And whereas Venus and the moon, you'd cover the two with your fist at arm's length on Sunday morning. But on Thursday morning, Saturn will be very close to the moon. It's much dimmer, but you will still see it with the naked eye. Again, the diagram in the magazine showing exactly what it looks like. And it's going to be just three moon widths below the half-sunlit moon. So the moon looks like it's called last quarter. And in fact, if you've got a pair of binoculars, you'll get an even better view. You can see craters on the moon at the same time then as you can see Saturn, which will be much better. And by the way, going back to Mars and evening skies, use your binoculars to check the color difference between Mars and Regulus. Regulus is a bluish white star. I think it's 77 light years away. Mars is the red planet. And on photographs I've taken, you can really see the color difference. So if you've got a pair of binoculars, you always get a better view. But all three of those things, every evening this week for Mars and Regulus, Saturn and the moon on Thursday morning, and Venus and the moon on Sunday morning, you always get better views with binoculars, but we really only try to promote things that are visible with the naked eye in the first place.
Now, David, we're all conditioned to believe that summer is the 1st of May, but it's not, because this Saturday could be the beginning of summer, is it?
Yeah, it always has been. This June solstice marks the beginning of summer in the Northern Hemisphere. If you go online, start looking at what other countries do, especially the Americans, who dominate the internet, they all know that the seasons are caused by the tilt of the Earth's axis, and that for a time immemorial, the summer in the Northern Hemisphere starts at the June solstice, which happens to be this Saturday, June the 21st. In fact, we know the exact time to the nearest minute. It's 3:42 a.m. on Saturday. And that's what the exact instant when the solstice marks the start of Northern Hemisphere summer. Of course, it's winter, if you have any relatives down in Australia. But the reason I think why it's become June the 1st with the meteorological services, because they want to stick to actual calendar months. It just makes their publications a bit easier. But I'm surprised at them, because they're scientists as well, and they know what causes the seasons. And I think sticking to an arbitrary human calendar, and the calendar has an incredible history. We talk all day about it, how Roman emperors have stolen days from one month to stick into their own month, and other things like that, how it was changed and there were riots in the streets a few centuries ago, how the Catholic Church used a different church, the Protestant. The story goes on.
Yeah.
And to stick decisions about the summer to our calendar is a big mistake. And we should stick with the original, and still, for most countries, the official definition of summer. It's Saturday morning it begins.
Now, David, moving to some other breaking news this week. For the first time ever, the European Space Agency's Solar Orbiter spacecraft captured stunning video and images of the sun's south pole. These unprecedented views could help scientists predict solar storms, events that can disrupt satellites, power grids, and even create dazzling auroras. First of all, I suppose, the Solar Orbiter has been sent back for the first ever images of the sun's south pole. Why has it taken so long to capture this region, and what makes these images so significant?
Well, the Solar Orbiter has a long-term mission to study the sun. So once it was launched, it's been mapping the sun in the plane of the Earth's orbit, where it was launched from. And that's where you get a lot of important information from that, because it can get about four times closer to the sun than we are, which means it gets very strongly heated and have to do all kinds of incredible engineering to make sure the spacecraft didn't melt. And now the next part of its mission is that it's managed to get into a tilted orbit. So it's now at 17 degrees off the plane of the sun's equator. So now it can peer over the North Pole. And that will actually increase over the next few years until 2029, when it'll get about 30 degrees off the plane. We'll really get a bird's eye view of the sun's poles at that stage. So this is the first time we've seen the sun's poles. There have been other spacecraft that have gone over the poles, but they didn't have cameras on board to take the kind of pictures that Solar Orbiter have. And we've had a big omission from our knowledge of the sun because of this, as to what it looks like at its north and south poles, which is very important because it's a huge seething mass of plasma which generates very strong magnetic fields. And it's the magnetic fields on the sun that drive all the crazy activity that gives us northern lights, can black out radio communications, and can even cause disruptions in power grids. We've had whole cities shut down in the past.
Now, scientists say these images will help them understand the sun's cycles between calm and stormy periods. How does this work, and what importance is it to us here on Earth?
Yeah, well, the sun goes through cycles of activity roughly every 11 years, and the computer models don't quite predict exactly what's going on. And we don't know in particular how strong each 11-year cycle is going to be. So we're about the peak of the sunspot production of the sun at the moment, probably peaked last year into this year. We actually have to wait for about a year afterwards to look back on the figures and see when did the peak happen, because it's a bit jaggedy if you look at the graphs. But certainly lots of sunspots around the past few years. And then it will go quiet. And while this is all happening, the number of sunspots moves from the sun's equator up to the North Pole and back. And that means the magnetic fields are doing something inside the sun. If we don't know what's going on exactly at the top or bottom of the sun, then how are we supposed to predict exactly what's going on inside this huge ball that's over a million times bigger than the Earth and gives us all the light and life that thrives on the Earth and our weather as well, and space weather, which can cause these aurora and radio blackouts too. So knowing more about all of this will help us enormously. It's early days yet. They've only just got the picture, so they're not going to have the final answer this week or next week. We'll certainly be reporting on it in the next issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine.
Now, the ultimate goal, I suppose, is to predict space weather like we do for Earth's weather. How close are we to reliable solar storm forecasts, and what challenges remain, in your opinion?
Well, we're not bad, but I'll give you a recent case study. Last, I think it was Friday or Thursday, we predicted on our social media, every day we tell people if there's going to be an aurora visible from Ireland or not. And I should say, to the best of our knowledge, because the Space Weather Prediction Center, which gets a lot of these satellite pictures in of the sun and figures out if there's been an explosion and is it headed our way, said it was going to happen on Saturday. And in fact, it happened on Thursday. It was very early. It's unusual for it to be that early. And even when they do arrive, we don't know if they're going to last an hour or two or 12 hours. So it's still difficult to predict. It's a lot better than it used to be. And it's more missions to monitor the sun, especially if we could get away from the Earth and have satellites, say, halfway around the Earth's orbit or a quarter way around, watching the material being flung off the sun and headed our way, we could predict it better. So we got it wrong last week, and I think it was fairly cloudy in Ireland, so we didn't actually miss much. But had there been clear skies, there were fantastic aurora seen in other parts of the planet, and we missed them.
Okay.
So we're good at it, I'd say, but we're not perfect.
Okay, an incredible milestone in solar science. Now, finally, and briefly, we're back to current events at home. And we mentioned this last week. You've also got a special event tonight. A NASA scientist talking about Martian auroras. Remind us.
It's happening in 2 hours. Another thing caused by the sun. Auroras can actually happen on Mars. They shouldn't, because it's the magnetic field of the Earth that causes them. It channels the radiation of the sun into our north and south pole. Different things happen on Mars with this very, very weak magnetic field. And the speaker this evening is a NASA scientist, Dr. Rob Lillis, but he's also an Irishman. He did his degree in Trinity College Dublin, and now he's off in the University of Berkeley. Our lectures normally happen at 7 o'clock Irish time, but they're going to happen at 8 p.m. tonight, because he's in California, so many time zones away from us. So we're going to hear an Irishman who's done good working on NASA space missions like this. He's an expert on Mars. He's the assistant director of the planetary division over there. So he's achieved a great career for himself. So it's great to invite an Irishman who's done good to come back and tell us about these new aurora found on Mars just last month. People might have read about it in Astronomy Ireland magazine. So get your tickets, astronomy.ie, and listen to it. It'll be a great story for the whole family.
Thanks so much, David, for that. And a packed week for Sky Watchers as well. And don't miss Mars and Regulus, the Morning Planet Show, and the NASA Talk, as David said, for astronomy.ie. That was David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. And we'll talk to David next Monday.